Y'all just all right? Hey, look, the time change is still getting me too. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We're so excited that you're here and that you chose this place to come worship today. This is the launch service, the contemporary service. And before we worship, let's get to some announcements. There's only a few today. Next Sunday is super fun. The Youth Praise Band is going to be, Miles is like, yep, I'm going to be up there. They're going to be playing and leading worship. It's been an honor to kind of be a part of that and watch them grow as musicians and in their faith. So they're going to get to share that with you next week. They will be in both Divine and the launch services. So come check that out. I won't read this to you. I don't like it when my professors read me the slides, but it's in your bulletin. We do have some really special dates coming up. So check that out and make sure to be here. We always got some really awesome things to be a part of here at Asbury, and we always invite you to bring a friend and come be a part of that. So with that said, please stand and greet those around you. Sign the registry for your attendance, and we're going to start worshiping together. So no church is perfect. But what we do here at Asbury, we pride ourselves on praising and worshiping God every Sunday and giving it all up to Him. So let's praise Him together right now.
Praise Him with all love.
next one is called Who You Say I Am, because we're not who we say we are. We're not who those around us tell us that we are. We are who he says we are. Amen. So that's what the song is. Who You Say I Am. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
Sing it again.
Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free in me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a This time we're going to ask the kids to come forward for children's moments with Miss Laura.
Well, good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy Sunday. Happy spring break.
Yes.
There we go. I knew I'd get a rile out of that one. So I have a question. Are there times in your life, your small life, that you have been where you are like, I want that, and if no one's looking, I'm just going to grab it, and I'm going to stick it in my pocket? Yeah?
Yeah?
They're all like, mm-hmm. Never, Seth? Michael? Good. You don't. Because you know what's talking to you? The Holy Spirit's talking to you. I consider the Holy Spirit, because today that is what Pastor Mary and Pastor Doug are going to be talking about, are the images of the Holy Spirit. And I consider the Holy Spirit to be like an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other one. The angel said, don't do it, Laura. Don't eat that extra donut. And the devil over here is going, oh, go right ahead. It's cake. It's your favorite. Or, hey, I want that chocolate that's sitting there. It's the brand new chocolate. Nobody will see me because I'm standing in line. Mom's paying for groceries. Nobody will see me. And then over here, they're like, yeah, do it. Do it. Nobody will see you. They are things that can detect you. I want to tell you a story. My brother, when he was 5, took a roll of Lifesavers from one of the local stores. He said nobody will miss it, and he put it in his pocket. My mom, it didn't go out, because at that point when my brother was 5, there weren't like big alarms in stores. But my mom asked him where he got that candy, and he goes, well, I just got it from the store. I didn't have to pay for it. I just got it, you know. I didn't need to pay for it. And my mom, you know what my mom did? He made him go right back to the store and apologize to the manager. My brother has not stolen anything since. That's good to know. But anyway, back to the Holy Spirit. It is a guide for you to say whether or not things to do right or wrong. It's telling you, because we want to do right all the time, don't we? And there's times in our lives when we go, that's not right, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that's the Holy Spirit. So remember that. As you go through spring break, as you go through, start school in the following week, or every day, do what's right. Listen to that Holy Spirit, that small, still voice that says, do what's good. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the wonderful weather you've given us. We thank you for spring break. We thank you for the time that we can just restart our clocks and renew and refresh. Also remind us of our Holy Spirit that's within us, telling us what's right and what's wrong, that we should always do what's good. We ask this in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us and continue to worship this morning. We sing of God's love for us. Before I spoke a word,
you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you.
Down. Bye.
shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, no. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, no.
So much stuff going on in our world this week. Wow. Some very good things and some very tragic things. We live in a world full of turmoil, don't we? Well, close to home, we have needs within our own church. And I'd like to call out just a few of the names that that people have called and asked to be put on prayer lists. Ask us to pray for them. And it's a very honoring place to be. To be able to lift our brothers and sisters' voices into the throne room as I prayed this morning. We are directly in line with the throne room this morning. And that's a wonderful place to be. Janet Brandt, Becky Flynn, Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Mary Ellen Murray. I will tell you, Larry Brown is in hospice care right now. And Mary Ellen Murray, just, Saint Mary, if you will. She was the spouse of a longtime Methodist pastor, a wonderful, wonderful man. She is in hospice, and she probably will not be on this side of heaven for another week. She'll get to go home. So please keep Mary Ellen's family and Mary Ellen in your prayers. She's ready to go. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, she is ready to go. She says, I've lived a long life. She quotes scripture. She sings hymns, and she's ready to go home. Also, Gail Scott in the death of her father. Please keep the whole Scott family in your prayers and in your heart. Let us go to that throne room and raise these and others to God in our prayers. Pray with me. Our God and our Father, we come before you this morning desiring to honor you with all we do in our praise, in our worship, in the gifts we bring, and with the teaching of your holy word. Bless everything we do so it may reveal your love and your kingdom to those who need it. In our world today, people are running around with their eyes wide open, but we act as if we are blind. We're blind to the things going on around us and to the people. We don't see those in need. We don't see those who are hurting. And we don't see those who are in desperation. You tell us in your word, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Yes, Father, our eyes are open, but we are not seeing things the way you would have us see them. Help us to focus on you, and through the presence of your Holy Spirit in us, we can walk by faith, knowing you are with us and you are guiding our every step. Lord, in this world, there are so many needs. Grant us a vision to see the part you would have us play in its healing, and give us your energy to go farther than we ever could on our own. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As our ushers are coming forward, like I said, we've got so many needs around us. We're going to receive our morning offering today, the gifts and the tithes that you bring in. People are blessed by it. Do not think that they are not. People are blessed by the offerings that you give. Let's ask God to bless this morning's offering. Gracious God, your word tells us you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great we will not be able to take it in. Bring your promise to our mind every time we lay our tithes and our gifts at your feet. Bless them and bless the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Thank you.
message that we are about to receive. I want to pray that we open our hearts and that we can hear your voice, Lord. We're not distracted by the things around us or the things that we're going to do after church, Lord. Bless Pastor Doug as he gives us the word. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was standing in the back just listening. And just so beautiful. Randy reached over and put his arm around my shoulder, whispered in my ear, "I'm glad I don't have to follow that." Thank you, Maddie. Pressure. Wow. Well, as my great, 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 great grandfather would say, in the town of Derry in Ireland, now it's in Northern Ireland, top of the morning to you, lads and lassies. Yeah. I'm sure that he would be thrilled to hear that blessing or that greeting coming out of one of his grandson's mouth. I'm just not sure, as an Anglican minister, that he would take too well that it coming from a Methodist pulpit. Grandpa George, you got what you got, buddy. Why is it? The question is, why is it that we believe in some things we've never seen? And no amount of convincing can make us believe in other things. We've never seen the wind. But we see the effects of the wind in the grass as it blows, or in the trees, or the clouds as they move across the sky. We've never seen radio waves. But yet, we see the result of their existence when we watch TV, or when we use our cell phones, or when we turn on the radio in our car. We believe in them, yet we've never seen them before. There have been some plaster casts made of some pretty big footprints. There have been some hair samples taken, and yes, even pictures to prove Bigfoot exists. But you would be hard-pressed to find somebody that says, "Yes, Bigfoot exists." Jay, sit down. Quit walking back there like Bigfoot. Golly, I looked up and I saw this coming across the back. And you know, the same thing goes for Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster in my country of origin. There's pictures, but yet people don't believe. So why do we believe in some things we will never see, yet we refuse to believe in other things? We act as if we are all born in the state that my youngest brother was born in, Missouri. The show me state. Yeah, show me and I'll believe. This morning, we're going to look at the evidence of the existence of a spirit we've never seen, but we can certainly see the effects of its existence in our lives because we believe. This morning, you will not find the words to the scripture on the screen for one reason and one reason only. I want you to listen. And I want you to feel the emotion in these words that the psalmist penned. Listen carefully to them. I will not do them justice. Feel the words in your heart as I read them this morning. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under the wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow. The word of God for the people of God. I hope you felt the emotion as I was reading those words. One of the most simple and favorite Halloween costumes when I was little, and probably when you were as well, is the ghost costume. I mean, face it, you take a sheet, you cut out two holes in it for the eyes, and bam, you got you a ready-made Halloween costume. Didn't have to go to the store. Ghosts are something that we hear about. We read about them, and we see movies made about them from the time we were young to now. So why is it when we put the word holy in front of it, we start to get a little uneasy? We speak easily about God. We know that Jesus walked this very earth, and we don't have a problem telling people about him. So why do we hesitate to acknowledge, as the Old King Version of the Bible says, the Holy Ghost? We no longer have the privilege of having Jesus with us here on earth. However, listen to this. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, his words, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Jesus said we have an advantage of not having him with us. In other words, we're better off having the Holy Spirit with us. I admit, I've got a hard time getting my mind wrapped around what Jesus has said. If it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit with us, how do we use the presence of the Holy Spirit as a source of strength in our salvation? Like I said earlier, we live in a world of trouble. Amen. Sin entered into this world, and it has been here ever since. It has not gone away. Danger, we take that word lightly, but danger is at every turn of our lives. God promises protection in the midst of danger. He never promised a world free of danger, but he does promise that he will help us when we do, when we face that danger. And he does so through his Spirit, through his Holy Spirit. So what's that look like? How does that really happen? As I was reading through the Psalms preparing for this message, I got this vision in my head of a memory. And for those of you that have grown up on a farm or around farm or been around chickens, you'll understand the old saying, there's nothing madder than an old wet hen. And that's true. I went into the chicken pen a few times to feed the chickens because that was my chore. And it was even raining sometimes. I did this when I was young. The baby chicks are in the chicken pen would run, and they would get around their mother. And the mother would spread her wings out over her chickens, and they would stay under their mother's wing until the danger was gone. And even if it was raining, that mother never failed to spread her wings out and protect those chickens from the elements or for the danger that was in the pen. Just like a mother hen spreads its wings out over her chicks, the Holy Spirit covers us in that same fashion. Did you hear the words of the psalmist when I read them earlier? He said, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." The Holy Spirit has been called many things. Two of those, and truly, that's what He is to us. He is our comforter, and He is our advocate. This morning, Scripture says God will also build a fortress around us, and will spread His wings over us. Just like the heat of the sun at noonday doesn't hit those chicks when they're under their mother's wing, think of it, the heat of danger will also not hit us when we stay under the Master's wings. But, there's a qualifier in verse 2. And I read it. Don't know if you heard it. It said, "My God, in whom I trust." Trust. You know, we can't just trust God just a little bit. That's not going to cut it. We've got to trust God with our whole heart. And when we do so, the Scripture says we can rest easy, not just a little, rest easy in His shadow, and we can lounge in His shelter. But we're human, are we not? Doubt can creep in, and we tend to stray from under God's shelter and under God's wings and out from under His protection. We get caught up in day-to-day troubles of this world. We do it all the time. And we get snared by them, much like a bird can get caught in the fowler's snare. Now, let me explain. A fowler's snare is a very, very fine net that a hunter will place in the path, in the flight path of birds. Now, it's so fine, birds can't see it until they're right on it. In biblical times, birds were a staple of food for the table. And also, the fowler would catch these birds and sell them outside the temple doors to people that would come, but they didn't have anything to bring to the priests for an offering, for a sin offering. So they would sell these birds. Once the bird got its wings caught in that net, in the fowler's snare, it was all over for the bird. The snare for us is this world's trappings. Think about it. Fame, power, recognition, and the struggle to have possessions. All of a sudden, we realize our wings have been caught by this world's snare, and we are doomed, just like the birds. But verse 3 says, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." God is faithful to get us out of the devil's snare that he lays for us when we call out to Him. If you read further on over in the book of Psalms, and you get to Psalm 124, listen to this. Verse 6 and 7 says, "Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped." We cry out to God in our troubles, when we get caught in the snare of our own devices. And through the Holy Spirit, He guides us in a way that we can escape that snare. We escape and praise God for it. God tells us that His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a source of strength and will be our shield and rampart. Did you hear that again? It says the snare has been broken and we have escaped. But further in verse 3, back up just a little bit, His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Before modern warfare was developed, soldiers carried a shield for their personal protection from arrows, from swords, for whatever the enemy was going to use against them. They carried it on their left arm. And especially during Roman rule, you could see the pictures that they would use that shield, a long shield on their left arm, and then they would have the sword in their right hand to be used as an offensive weapon. Even today, you hear about body armor. The soldiers put on body armor. That's a modern-day shield that they wear. The shield, however, was the last line of defense when they encountered those hand-to-hand battles. The Holy Spirit is not only our shield during times of trouble, during times of holding off the attacks of the enemy. We can draw strength from the Holy Spirit because He is much farther out in front of us than just that shield. God's faithfulness places a rampart around us, much like the walls around an ancient city or a castle. And it's wide, and it has a walkway on top of it. A rampart, the walls are almost impenetrable, and it enabled the archers defending the city to fire down on the attacking forces. The rampart, or the walls, if you will, kept the people inside the city safe from the attack. The Holy Spirit is our rampart, keeping us safe inside of our spiritual cities. All we need to do is draw on the source of that strength to keep evil away, not just at arm's length like a shield, but outside the city walls. But we falter from time to time, don't we? We cry out to the Lord for help. And He sends just that in a big way. Listen, we must declare, as verse 9 says, "The Lord is my refuge." And in times of trouble, we will be given strength. But not only will we receive strength, look what God sends to us. Listen, to raise us up above the fray. "For He will command angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." What does that mean for us? In our times of struggle, and we begin to lose strength, and we cry out in our salvation to the Lord, God dispatches angels to us to lift us up and out of the predicament that we're in. Angels will lift us up to a place that we cannot reach on our own. All because we make our place of refuge in the Lord and rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. We love God. We love our Savior. And we rely on the Holy Spirit in us to be a source of strength in all we do and against all evil that we encounter. When we say, "We love the Lord." Did you see in the beginning of verse 14 what God says He will do because we say, "We love the Lord"? Because He, meaning us, "loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wow. God is constantly watching over us. In all his strength and love through the Holy Spirit, he rescues us and protects us when we acknowledge his name. He answers us, as the scripture says, when we call upon him. God doesn't say that we're not going to have trouble, but he promises us he will be with us in those times, and will not only deliver us, listen to this, but lift us up to a place of honor above our enemies. When we love God, he promises to give us strength for a long life here on earth. And then when this life ends, he promises to give us eternal life through his salvation, saving us forever. We don't have to go it alone in any aspect of our life. We have the Holy Spirit ready to be our shield when things get too close, but also be that wall to keep evil at a distance from us. When we acknowledge God and evil finds its way to us, he will send angels to lift us up above the evil. And because we tell him we love him, God will give us strength through the Holy Spirit, our advocate and our comforter. And he will deliver us and honor us. Deliver us and honor us with long life and life forever with him. There is no greater source of power and abundance than the Holy Spirit. We're blessed. As Jesus said, we are blessed more than the disciples, even when they walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus. We are more blessed. One day, we all will get to see him face to face. But until then, let's use the power given to us through the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, truly live a Spirit-filled life. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray, please. Father, we have a source of power available to us that is so great, it is beyond our comprehension. Many times we've said, oh, if we just had Jesus with us, how wonderful it would be. But Father, even in your Son's own words, we are more blessed by having the Holy Spirit. We can draw upon the power of your throne room directly through your Spirit to us. Father, there will be times of trouble, but Lord, angels will lift us up, honor us, and keep us safe. Oh Lord, we thank you for all of that. Father, we love you. You are our precious Lord. Help us to be more precious in your sight this morning as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Psalms can bring about some pretty heavy messages. But oh, you can see the very essence of God in those words. There's no mistaking that. Just to be in God's presence through the Psalms is a humbling place to be. I've read and read and read and read through this 91st Psalm, and I still feel the presence of the Holy Spirit when I read through it. It's so evident. It's so real. I'd like to ask everyone to stand, please. This morning, if you're here and you would like to unite with this faith family, and it is a faith family, it's a special place. Then you come forward and I'll meet with you. If God is tugging at your heartstrings and he tells you, I want to spend a little more time with you, but I need you to get on your knees, I'm going to invite you to come to these prayer rails and just meet God. Meet God right here. You talk with him. If you'd like for somebody to pray with you, you grab my arm. It'll be an honor to pray with you. Truly an honor. You do what the Holy Spirit is. I always say, you do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. And you draw strength from obeying what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do.
Strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still, my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and
the blessing this morning. If I can get the microphone out, I'm going to ask Rob Ader. There he is. Rob is chair of our staff parish relations committee, and he is going to come forward because he wants to talk to you for a second.
Morning, everyone. You guys even need me? Like I said, I'm part of the staff parish relations, and we got news this week. sorry. I will speak into this. I'm sorry. All right. So on 1 July, Doug will be going to Mountainside United Methodist Church in Hot Springs Village. And while we rejoice in his being recognized, we obviously are very, very selfish, and we are, it's kind of a bittersweet story because we're going to lose him. And so with that, I would ask you all to keep in mind that, you know, our Methodist tradition of the circuit rider, and that we are, our pastors are itinerant, and we can take great pride in the fact that we were your first church home, and that we were here when Doug got his pastoral legs underneath him, and we rejoice in that, yeah. And in your success.
Thank you.
So we will be taking on a new associate pastor. His name is Reverend Nick Schimmer. He's coming to us from Cabot. He is going through Asbury Theological Seminary. Thank you. And so he will be joining us. And so I would just ask you all for the next 3 or 4 months, let's rejoice and celebrate Doug's time with us and get him ready. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Rob. Trust me, the fat lady has not sang yet. I still have an opportunity to say something I shouldn't say and stub my toe. So just pray for me to hold my tongue. Because, you know, I'm a walker. I face that. I would ask, and just selfishly, I would ask for your prayers during this time. Between now and July the 1st for me and Cindy as we make that transition over. But again, there have been friendships that have been forged in this church that is not going to go away. You're not going to get rid of me that easy, truly. Truly, truly, truly. We will stay in contact through text messages, through parties, and who knows? Who knows where we'll run into one another? But I just thank God for y'all. Y'all are fantastic. I love this church, this, and especially this service. Y'all are not afraid to pray. You're not afraid to pray and just seek God out, and I love that. I'll never forget services in this very sanctuary here where you have prayed people back from the brink of death. That's a miracle. God honors the people that pray to him, and I know he's honoring you. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for all of us that we can call ourselves your children. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. And today, Lord, we know that we have lounged at your feet, and we have heard your word. We've heard your praises. I thank you for the launch band, Lord, because they take our hearts right directly to you through song and through praise. Lord, we hope today everything that we have done has been honoring to you. Smile upon us this week. Keep us safe. Be that rampart. Be our shield. Because, Lord, we proclaim today, we love you. In Jesus' name, I pray all of these things. And everybody say it with me. Amen. Amen.